You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
There's a lot of people in the United States today talking about the Green New Deal. But the problem is they don't say where you're going to get the money. Where are you going to get the kind of money that you need to transform the entire industrial system of the Western world? Well, there's only one place. It's the military, the Pentagon. It's the military-industrial complex.
That's the voice of Bruce Gagnon, director of Global Network. In this week's show, we speak to Bruce about weapons treaties and the Green New Deal, and how will that be paid for? So stay tuned.
I'm very privileged this morning to be joined by Bruce Gagnon. He is the director of Global Network. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Tell us about the work of Global Network. What is the mission of your work?
Well, we were created in 1992 as an international voice to educate people around the world and to build a political consciousness about the plans of the United States to take military control of space on behalf of corporate interests. And through that control, they would, in their mind, be able to literally control everything that happened on the planet, win all the wars on the planet, because today space technology is directing all warfare that the Pentagon does. So if the United States could be the master of space, as they say on the front of their headquarters building in Colorado of the U.S. Space Command, master of space, if the U.S. could be the master of space, then they could also be the master of the earth below. It kind of reminds me of Hitler's Nazi slogan, Deutschland über alles, Germany over all. It's very similar, and it's no coincidence that the U.S. space program was essentially created by Nazi scientists and engineers that were brought over to the U.S. at the end of World War II. People that had created the V-1 and V-2 rocket program for Hitler. So these are the things that the Global Network has been trying to teach people about and bring attention to over many years.
In those years, many alarming situations and conflicts have arisen. What are some of the most concerning events that your network is witnessing today?
Well, I would say one of the top things is the U.S. refusal to participate in any more international treaties. During the George W. Bush administration, Secretary of Defense at the time, Donald Rumsfeld, commissioned a Naval War College professor by the name of Thomas Barnett. He had recently, at that time, authored a new book called The Pentagon's New Map. And Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld had Barnett go out and do a several-year program of educating the military and the politicians in Washington on the new direction for the U.S. And one of his key points in his presentations was that the U.S. will no longer do international treaties anymore because treaties would restrict the U.S. ability to control and dominate not only space, but the earth below. They didn't want any treaties limiting or regulating their ability to do what they call full spectrum dominance. And that means dominating at every level, the earth, the sky, and outer space as well. So this, I think, is one of the most important things. And soon after George W. Bush was elected president, he withdrew the U.S. from the ABM Treaty, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, that outlawed so-called missile defense systems. And just last night, in his State of the Union speech, Trump made the point that we're going to escalate our missile defense program. Well, missile defense is really a misnomer. It's really missile offense, because missile defense is really the shield that would be used after the U.S. first strike sword is plunged into the heart of Russia and China. In fact, every year for many years at the U.S. Space Command, they war game a first strike attack on Russia and China. They try to take out Russia and China nuclear weapons that are underground, that are in submarines, under the ocean. They try to take them out in a first strike attack. And then when China or Russia inevitably fires their remaining retaliatory capability, it is then that the missile defense shield is used to pick off any remaining nuclear missiles, giving the U.S. a quote-unquote successful first strike attack. This is a very dangerous and provocative military strategy, and it's a walking away from the old days during the Cold War of what we used to call mutual assured destruction, MAD, right? Both sides had nuclear weapons, they could blow each other up, and in some strange, crazy way, that created sort of a stability because neither side really had an advantage. But now this development of missile defense, after walking away from the ABM treaty and accelerating the research and development and testing of the program, they're fine-tuning it over the years. They're finding out which systems don't work and which ones do work. And it's now become very dangerous. And Russia and China for the last many years have been saying, you know, we can't afford to reduce our nuclear retaliatory capability because with your introduction of this missile defense shield, it puts our retaliatory capability at risk. So we need as many nuclear weapons as we can have in order to try to get around your first strike attack. And so that ABM treaty was really crucial to the stability of making sure we don't have a new arms race. And now the Trump administration is talking about walking away from the INF treaty, the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty that banned intermediate range missiles in Europe. And of course, the U.S. under the Trump administration is also walking away from the Iran nuclear deal, which really also was a very stabilizing situation. So I would say those walking away from treaties is the biggest issue that's happening at this time.
We have always witnessed the U.S. initiatives. Latin America has suffered countless interventions, just a few to name, in 1954, Guatemala, which the genocide continues. They have invaded many countries, including the removal of Salvador Allende in 1973, which to us is the first 9/11. Latin America has always been under the threat of the U.S. What concerns you today under Donald Trump?
Well, I'm really worried about the Venezuela situation. It's very obvious what's happening. How can anyone be confused? It's ridiculous to see the United States and Canada and other countries supporting this coup d'etat that the United States is trying to pull off in Venezuela. And we all know the reason why. Venezuela has the largest supply of oil on the planet, even more than Saudi Arabia or Russia or any other country. And it's clear from the words of John Bolton, one of Trump's henchmen, he admitted it. He said, we're going down there to take control of Venezuela's oil. And they don't give a damn about democracy or international law or the rule of law or anything else. They're just going to try to do it. What it could lead to is a U.S. invasion, or at the very least, a civil war inside of Venezuela, where the U.S. arms one side against the elected government, the Maduro government. And it would mean a massive refugee situation that would destabilize the entire region, all the way up into Mexico, and obviously to the U.S. border as well. So I think it's a really dangerous moment, and I would hope that anyone that really respects the idea of true democracy would be speaking out against this coup d'etat effort on the part of the United States as much as possible, and pressuring all of our governments to stay out of Venezuela, get our hands off it.
When you talk about the threat of missile invasions and the threat of the U.S. Stepping away from conflict, from these treaties, not only are we a threat of being, under far more aggression than needs to be, but with Russian and China deeply invested in Venezuela and the U.S. trying to take over, and at the moment, withholding funds from Venezuela, trying to choke their economy, how do you read this aggression tactics? Because it seems to me Venezuela is just a little pawn that's being used to be brought into a bigger conflict.
Absolutely. Well, first thing the United States does is slap sanctions on Venezuela, which obviously impacts their economy, impacts their ability to feed the people. In the United States, Venezuela has an oil company called Citgo. You see it in they have a lot of gas stations around. You go there, you buy gas, that money goes to Venezuela. Well, the U.S. is now saying that money can't go to Venezuela. We're going to hang on to it, and we're going to give it to this new guy that the U.S. has appointed, this puppet Guaido, so he can create, whatever he's going to create in his country. The thing Guaido has said, his first thing he wants to do as president is to privatize the national oil company and to basically hand back the oil industry of Venezuela, the oil resource of the people of Venezuela, hand it to the United States, to the oil corporations. I mean, how clear can it be what's really going on here? So first, the U.S. creates a mess, and then it creates, from this chaos that it creates, it goes in and says, we have to rescue the situation. That's what they did in Iraq. That's what they've done in Afghanistan. That's what they did in Libya. That's what they've done in Syria. And now they're trying to repeat the same thing inside of Venezuela. It's criminal. It is criminal. It violates international law. It's immoral. And all of us need to speak out against this.
At the same time that the aggressions against Venezuela are going on, you see the U.S. breaking all these agreements. Now, the one, as you point out correctly, the most threatened of all, moving away from its INF treaty obligations. Why should the world be concerned about this?
Well, because it helps fuel a new arms race, which, of course, the American weapons corporations are very happy about. But let's think about what this INF, how it came about. Back in the early 80s, Ronald Reagan, as president, said he was going to deploy the Pershing 2 nuclear missile in Germany and cruise nuclear-capable missiles in England and Sicily, all aimed at the then Soviet Union. This was before, 10 years before the Soviet Union collapsed. The Soviets had intermediate-range nuclear missiles in some of their Eastern Bloc countries as well. And a huge peace movement erupted throughout Europe. I'm talking in 83. That's when Ronald Reagan deployed these Pershing and cruise missiles in Europe. And so in that year, a huge peace movement erupted, not only throughout Europe, but in the United States as well. I was a key part of it. I was at that time coordinating the Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice. And that Pershing 2 nuclear missile was made in Orlando, Florida, where I lived. In fact, my sister was working at the Martin Marietta Corporation, the predecessor of Lockheed Martin, helping to solder the circuit board on that nuclear missile. At the same time, I was leading protests outside the production facility. So in 83, then those deployments were made. The protests picked up throughout Europe and went on for years. And it was in 87 that Gorbachev from the Soviet Union, the president of the Soviet Union, and Ronald Reagan signed the INF Treaty, and both of them pulled back their intermediate-range nuclear missiles, which was a victory for the peace movement. It only happened because of the combined efforts of the peace movement throughout Europe, the United States, and other parts of the world. So this was a huge, huge victory, and it created more stability between the two superpowers during that time in the Cold War. And then after the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia remained in agreement on that treaty. They adopted that treaty as theirs and have continued. It's continued since. The Russian government just released a story last Saturday saying that they have satellite pictures of a Raytheon Corporation production facility in Tucson, Arizona, that has been upgraded in the last 2 years, where they believe work is already going on by the United States to replace or to bring in to bring on board new medium-range nuclear missiles. So while the United States was continually accusing Russia of violating the treaty, something Russia said they were not doing, the United States, according to this Russian evidence of this new production facility in Tucson, Arizona, at Raytheon, the U.S. has been planning for 2 years to break out of this treaty. So ever since Trump came into office, they were really going to do it, and they were just preparing the way. And they were creating the international story that, well, we're only doing this because Russia's violating it, when in fact the United States always intended to do it. That's pretty clear to me. That's what's really going on here. The U.S., again, doesn't want to be bound by treaties. We know that. And so this is the modus operandi of this corporate criminal syndicate that runs things in Washington today.
Now, the U.S. lied about Iraq having nuclear weapons or weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. has lied about the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. There is a crisis that is being caused by them choking their economy. There is a crisis by them withholding their funds. The U.S. has lied continuously. So how do we hold our governments accountable when our media is controlled also by the same people interested in consolidating this power in the hands of a few?
That's the number one question to ask. That's a great question. It really indicates that what we have is not a democracy. We have an oligarchy, a corporate oligarchy, the rule of the many by the few, who are making money off these endless wars and these regime changes and this grabbing of resources around the earth. That's what it's all about. Earlier, I referred to this guy, Thomas Barnett, during the George W. Bush administration. He made these presentations saying that we wouldn't do international treaties anymore. He wrote a book called The Pentagon's New Map. And during those presentations, he also said that because of corporate globalization of the world economy, every different country was going to have a different role in the future. He said, in America, we're not going to make things anymore. We're not going to make shoes and refrigerators and cars and cell phones, because it's cheaper for corporations to go overseas and get cheaper labor in China and Vietnam, Indonesia, other Philippines, other countries. He said, our role in America, under corporate globalization, will be security export. And he said, our job will be to go into the non-integrating gap, the parts of the world that are not yet fully under control of corporate power, places like the Middle East, Central Asia, and parts of Latin America, he said. And of course, he was talking about Venezuela. He was talking about there are parts of the world where we don't fully control the resources, and that's what our role in America will be. And he said, so give me your young, angry young men who have no future, they have no job future because jobs have left the country. We'll bring them into the military when we'll fight endless war on behalf of these corporations. And both political parties, Republicans and Democrats in the United States, are on board with that agenda. Last night, when Trump said we're going to rescue Venezuela, we're going to, bring them democracy, the Democrats stood up and clapped alongside the Republicans. And so this shows the corruption of our government. It shows the takeover of the political system by these corporate entities and their corporate money. And as a result of that, democracy has basically been drowned in the United States. So how the hell can the United States talk about bringing democracy to Syria or Venezuela or Libya or anywhere else when we don't even have it here? And so our struggle now today is not only to get the military boot off the necks of the people around the world, but also to get it off our own necks right here in our own country. So we need a revolution of values, as Martin Luther King called it, where we stand up and fight for the positive social spending. Right now, our biggest issue in the world is not, you know, democracy around the world. What it is climate change. And if we don't deal with climate change today, the future generations really are in huge, huge trouble. The Earth is in danger. Mother Earth is in toxic shock, and her body is thrashing about, and weather is changing dramatically day to day all over the world. We need to convert the military-industrial complex, convert the war machine, turn it into building solar and rail, commuter rail systems, tidal power systems, offshore wind systems, so that we can begin in even a small way to deal with the coming reality of climate change. And studies show that when you make that conversion, when you do that, when you stop making weapons and you build these kind of sustainable technologies, you create more jobs, because military spending is actually the worst way to create jobs because it's so capital intensive, whereas every other kind of production is labor intensive. So in the end, everybody, all the politicians say we want to create more jobs. Well, here's the way to do it. But there has to be a demand. And so our peace movement, as we're saying, get the boot off the necks of Venezuela, get the boot off the necks of Syria, we also have to have a yes. What is our yes? Well, let's convert the military-industrial complex. There's a lot of people in the United States today talking about the Green New Deal, which is basically what I just described. But the problem is they don't say where you're going to get the money. Where are you going to get the kind of money that you need to transform the entire industrial system of the Western world? Well, there's only one place. It's the military, the Pentagon. It's the military-industrial complex, because they have their hands on most of the treasury of the United States today.
That's beautiful. You know, I was thinking about all the ways that we are taxed, and in many ways, taxation without representation is theft. You know, we are being forced to pay our taxes, but we don't get a say as to how we spend our taxes. So what inspires you that not only this goal that you just described for us, this beautiful uniting goal, can be achieved, but we are the people that can do it?
Well, you know, right now in France, these yellow vests have been protesting every weekend for 11 or 12 weekends in a row. And this is what they're calling for. They're calling for real citizen involvement in the country. Their media is under corporate control. Their government is under corporate control. Macron, they say, is the president of the rich. He's doing austerity measures. They're cutting back on Social Security. In our country, in the United States, the military-industrial complex is saying that the Star Wars, the militarization of space, the weaponization of space, will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet and the most expensive project in the history of the planet. And they say, we've got to come up with a dedicated funding source to pay for it. And we have. In one of their industry publications, Space News, a few years ago, they did an editorial. They say, we're now sending our lobbyists to Washington to secure this dedicated funding source. And they said it's called the entitlement programs that in America officially are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the social safety net, the welfare program that's in tatters. Those are the programs they want to defund and move that money into the Star Wars program. So my hope today is to see people in revolt and other parts of the world. In Venezuela, the people are revolting against this oppressor from the north who is trying to take over their country and grab their oil, steal their oil. And it's criminal. And so that's what gives me hope, is seeing anyone anywhere in revolt. And I spend my life, every day I say to myself, what can I do today to also be in revolt against this corporate-dominated system that we live in, that actually is in control of much of the world today.
I agree with you. I grew up under the U.S. sponsored war in El Salvador, and I can tell you that people get up every day and we do our best and we change the world one day at a time. How can people access your work? How can people support your work?
Well, they can go to our website, spaceforpeace.org. That's the global network against weapons and nuclear power in space, spaceforpeace.org, and that four is either the number or the digit, spaceforpeace.org. You can also look at my blog that I write virtually every day. It's called Organizing Notes. In the old days, if you Googled Organizing Notes and my name, Bruce Gagnon, it would come up almost on the very top of search engines. But now, because of algorithms that are wiping out access to political groups on the left, it's harder to find, but it's called Organizing Notes, Bruce Gagnon, and that's my blog. But you can also, it's linked on our website at spaceforpeace.org. But we appreciate any help people can give us. You know, I always say to people, if you want to beat Star Wars, fight for social progress, fight to deal with climate change, because if we defend Social Security, if we defend welfare programs for the poor, if we defend sustainable technology development, then that means there won't be so much money to pay for Star Wars. So I think one of the problems is with our movements is many of them are silo-based, you know, people just working on their singular issue and never connecting the dots. And when I speak, I try to talk about everything. I try to talk about climate change. I try to talk about social justice issues, poverty, and connect these things because they are connected. There's a reason why there's no money, to deal with climate change. There's a reason why there's no money to deal with poverty in America, and it's because of the military-industrial complex. And I started to say earlier, and I got distracted, the groups that are working on the Green New Deal are not saying where the money should come from. They're not saying that it should come from the military-industrial complex. And I think that's a strategic organizing mistake. We should always be connecting these dots and showing how one thing is linked to another. So if you support that work, please give us a shout.
Thank you. Now, you've given us so much already. What would be your most profound statement if you had 1 second to inspire someone? What would you say?
Oh, well, I don't know, but I would say thank you, Sylvia, for what you're doing. You've been interviewing me many times over the years, and when you earlier asked me what gives me hope, what keeps me going, it's knowing that there are people like you all over the world doing this good work in their community and connecting the dots and reaching out to other activists in other places and sharing their stories. That's what I think is the most important thing. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We inspire each other. I appreciate your work. Thank you again for being with us today.
All right.
We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com.